because those reviews are extremely important. I thank you for sharing. I thank you, Minister Chiquita, for pointing out the fact that self-talk, right? We think because we are not having offense within ourselves that we're having this conversation, we think that it's not offensive. But what we continue to override is that we are kings and we live in a kingdom and we are under a kingdom. We're under a God and we're under a king. Therefore, our king, our sovereign God, is always watching what we do. Everything that we do is recorded, and we have forgotten this. The body of Christ has forgotten the kingdom that it serves. The body of Christ has forgotten how Christ actually operates, right? And so this teaching affords us the opportunity to sit back and re-engage our king from the perspective as a king, right? From the perspective of our true identity. We are heirs of Jesus Christ. We are not heirs of Satan. We are heirs of Jesus Christ. Even though we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, because we found Christ, because we believe in his blood, because we believe in salvation, because we're working out our own salvation. That gives us access. Come on this morning. Y'all didn't cause me to come right on out of the gate. I'm not even on my slides. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. The other point that I want to make. Thank you. Oh, let me get, I don't want to say it wrong. Who made that second comment? Deborah. Deborah made the second comment. Offended by yourself, right? Listen, that's where most people are. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for sharing it publicly because now everybody on the line can check themselves before they wreck themselves, right? Everybody on the line can say, wait a minute, is that me? Am I so busy looking at everybody else or looking at everything else that I'm forgetting, that I'm offending myself, because that's what Adam did. The reason why I started where I started is because it's easy to look out of our outside of ourselves, but it's very difficult to pinpoint where we are being offensive to ourselves. He was offensive to his own identity. Hear me and hear me well. Because kings don't toil, kings make decisions. He had been making decisions all along. Hear me and hear me well. He had not been toiling with his identity nor his rulership all this time. Are y'all singing this? Come on, tell me yes. Put something in the chat so I know that you're hearing what I'm saying to you today, that you're comprehending, right? Because this is about comprehension. This is not something to just say and repeat and you walk away and now here you are again doing the same thing. No, are we comprehending? Are we understanding? Because this has to become applicable. If it doesn't become applicable, we are doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. And that puts us outside of working out our soul salvation. That puts us outside of the likeness and image of Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me? You can confess it all day, but I want you to profess it. I want you to become a professional at it. Are you hearing me today? Become a professional at walking out your kingly identity. Become a professional at being as he is, so are you in this world. Become a professional. That means in order to become a professional, you've studied it, you've learned it, and then you applied it and walked it out. And then you become a master. Are you understanding what I'm saying? What are you mastering? You're mastering your soul. You're mastering your mind. You're mastering your identity. You're mastering your tongue. You're mastering your attitude. You're mastering your mindset. You're mastering what goes in your ears. You're mastering what you're looking at. Oh, come on this morning. Y'all got me coming out the gate. Let me get on my slides. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Because that's not even my slides. That's just what was downloaded instantly from the conversation that was had on this morning. Let me go back. Is Prophet Nzinga up here rolling with my slides? If so, we've already prayed. You guys know who I am by now. If not, just look me up. We're not going to go through that, okay? Listen, let's get on my slide number 5, my wisdom objectives. Why? Because I want to remind you, put it on the full screen, please. And do I, you know what, guys? I just realized, do I need to go like this? Oh, because I was looking at my replay and I said, well, why isn't it taking up the whole screen? Why am I? No, okay, I think I'm good. Okay, now, you guys, you know that we have been dealing with the manifold wisdom of God concerning the first offense. We have gone through that. We have hammered that thing out. It is time for us to move on. We've been halfway moving the needle, but we really had to hash through the truth of the matter of what made Adam offended, right? We had to look at all of the background information that you didn't necessarily think about that happened, that caused this sin to take place, right? So now we're going to continue to move forward to reveal the eternal reward Adam and Eve received as a result of their actions in the garden. That's what we're going to focus in on today. And I might touch on the last part. I don't think so. Maybe just a little bit, but I'm going to have to wrap it up for you on Tuesday, okay? So today we're going to reveal the eternal reward Adam and Eve received as a result of their action in the garden. Go with me to slide 18, please. All right. Are we there? Okay, here we go. The eternal reward Adam and Eve received as a result of their offensive actions before God in the garden. Okay, I want us to remember this right here because I just said it just a few minutes before in regards to Minister Chiquita's response, right? We do not oftentimes think about the fact that all of this took place before God, because God is not right here standing in front of us, right? We forget that he's watching. We forget that he has a whole ecosystem, right? That's taking information and synthesizing it and returning and checking our books and looking at, you know, how much we're on track on what we're supposed to accomplishing, what we should be doing and how we should be reacting, inacting, right? We don't think consciously that we actually have a God that's watching over us, yet we constantly believe that he's protecting us. Come on today. Hear me and hear me well. How is it that we remember the parts that we want to remember and we forget the parts that we don't want to think about? We don't want to think about that God is watching us right now, right here. Every day, every second. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He hears everything. He knows everything. Come on today. Because if we really revered our God that way, we wouldn't do half of the things that we do. We wouldn't think half of the things that we think. We wouldn't say half of the things that we say. We wouldn't commune the way that we commune with others. We wouldn't allow Satan to walk in and do whatever he wants. Come on now. If God was standing before you, you would pretend, even if it cost you everything, to be the protector of the Lord. You would keep every command. You would uphold everything. You wouldn't be second guessing anything. You will be like, well, my God is right here and I got to get this done. Fear could have no place. Anxiety could have no place. Doubt could have no place. Come on today, conservators. I'm preaching. Yes, I am. I know y'all want me to teach, but today we must preach this thing all the way through, because you got to come into the wisdom and the understanding that your God is ever present. Ever present. He's not ever present for your time of need. He's ever present watching to see how much you're fulfilling what you are put on earth to fulfill. Come on here today. How much you are keeping what it is that he put in your hands to keep. Come on today, even if it starts with working out your soul's salvation, taking us back to the plank, right? Because everything that we do, our worldly wisdom, our worldly knowledge causes us to tend to everything but ourselves. Even if it's the ministry of health, we help everybody else before we help ourselves. But scripture tells us to strengthen ourselves before we go and strengthen our brothers. So where did we get this false doctrine? Come on today. Because I'm going to destroy every false doctrine rolling around in our spirits, trying to continue to duke us out of our inheritance, because we are heirs of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are heirs of the King of all kings. We are heirs of the Lord of all lords. Are you hearing me? That makes you a little king. That makes you a little lord. That makes you a little ruler. That makes you a little dominionaire. Do you hear me? Understand who you are. And who you're operating before. Understand that this is not a matter of just saying, Lord, come into my heart. And now we've arrived because we've confessed something. Look up the difference between a confession and a profession. And you'll gain greater understanding, insight, and wisdom about what it is that I'm ordained to bring to you today. Because I'm on a mission. I have been commissioned to turn everybody I speak to from darkness to light, to address darkness, so that we all can be free. Where are we going to be free? In the spirit of our minds. Because our minds have been abducted. Our minds have been bound, hear me and hear me well, by doctrines of devils that have stolen the gospel. We are not in the truth. We are not in the wisdom. We are not in eternity. He said, as he is, so are we in this world. That was Adam's job. His job was to walk and be one with God, and he lost it. The first offense, the breach, the violation of kingdom obligation, fracturing the relationship through violation. This is just a review. The second offense was a trespass. And these aren't the only offenses, but these are important ones that we tend to overlook and override. But we must become aware when we're operating like this with our king, and guess what? With our family, our kingdom family, that's you and I. Violation of kingdom law to overpass any rule prescribed as the limit of duty. Listen, Adam had a limit of duty. He was prescribed it. What was he prescribed to keep? Remember that, hold that, because you gotta begin to remember what God said to you. Come on today. The third offense, unlawful, to become a deprived being of the authority of kingdom law, acting contrary. Come on, how many times do you act contrary and illegal? By denying the possession of kingly authority. Y'all better hear me and hear me well today. Kingly authority while choosing to suffer a severe and damaging lack of rulership, identity, and authority. Hear me. This is what we're dealing with. Because the moment that we come into this understanding and we grab hold of this, I'm telling you, we cannot be deceived. We cannot be lied to. And we ourselves will no longer what? Tell lies and elude the truth. I want you to understand that this whole setup was to draw us away. We're still continuing the legacy of Adam, but listen, the requirement of salvation is to continue the legacy of Jesus Christ. Now, God has definitely given us mercy and grace to do what though? He didn't give us mercy and grace to remain the same. He's given us mercy and grace to work out our soul salvation. So I'm telling you, and what I'm revealing to you is, if you are not intentionally working out your soul salvation, do not deceive yourself and think that mercy and grace is simply working on your behalf, because that's not how laws work. Come on today. If that was how laws work, then guess what? Adam would not have been removed from the garden. And when Adam was moved, guess what else happened? You guys know it. You guys probably know it better than me. Was it just left open for Adam to come and go as he pleased? Put it in the chat, yes or no. Could he just come and go as he pleased? Could he come and visit? Oh, God, you know what? I'm feeling you today. Let me pay you a visit. Oh, you know what? I'm not feeling you today. I'm going to stay on outside. Or was there guards put up that shut him out? Come on today. Let's walk in truth about the scripture, because the scripture has been polluted and diluted into a doctrine that causes us to not remember, not succor our own God, but try and make our God everything but the one who is the same and remains the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Come on. I said it. Challenge me on it. Read your scripture. I said it. He doesn't change for us. He doesn't change for our ideologies. He doesn't change for our feelings. He doesn't change for our emotions. There are verdicts on every one of his commands, and the body of Christ is walking around like it can do whatever it wants and keep proclaiming and confessing to be with Jesus Christ and act like what? Doesn't act in his likeness and image. Ah. Act like drawn away, love of the world. James 1 and 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Listen, listen and listen to me well. We want to blame everything on Satan. We want to say, you know, the devil made me do it, or, you know, whatever. But the truth of the matter, if you are in Christ Jesus and you have a rule book called the scripture, and you have the Holy Ghost that leads you into all truth, my question would be to you, if that's the command and those are the standards, then how is something else drawing you away? When scripture right here is telling us, drawn away of his own lust. This is why I always pose to you to look at your thought processes, to think about your own appetite. Because it's easy to declare somebody else's. But when we are in denial of our own self, of how we really think, the thoughts we really keep, whether spoken or unspoken, that's what God wants us to deal with. So that every time we show up in front of one another, we're more authentically as he is. Oh, come on today. We're more authentically as he is. Now, when I enter into your presence, I can authentically begin to speak to you life and give you life. And you can authentically speak to me and give me life. Our words produce life unto one another, because we are operating in his likeness in image. Are you catching it? Are you hearing me? Are you with me? Say, I'm with you, Apostle Johnita. You're not out here by yourself. Just let me know. I'm with you, Apostle Johnita. You're not out here by yourself. Yes. 1 John 2:16-17. Love not the world. We still on drawn away / love of the world, because we are in denial and the fact that we are in love with this world that we are in. Come on. Today, we are in love with this world that we are in, yet scripture tells us to be in this world, but not of this world. Yet we love this world that we are in, which is why we're having a hard time separating from worldly doctrines, worldly thoughts, worldly lusts, worldly desires. Come on today. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Come on today. What does lightness have to do with darkness? Come on. God goes all throughout the scripture talking about a separation. Why are we separated? Because we're a peculiar people. Why are we separated? Because we're called out. Why are we separated? Because we are as he is. Why are we separated? We're made in his likeness and image. Come on. That's not for everybody. He's not just talking about a physical image. If that was the case, we would all look alike. He's talking about his holiness. He's talking about his righteousness. He's talking about you may have used to drink. You may have been a drugger. You may have been illicitly soliciting sex and doing all kinds of criminal actions. You may have been a fighter. You may have been a cusser, but you are no longer that because that's not Jesus Christ. Because when you drink, it already tells you what you're doing. You're taking in spirits, wine and spirits. And when they drunk in the book, in the scripture, it talked about them drinking a little for as in medicine. It had purpose. That wine had purpose. And the purpose of them drinking was not to get drunk. Even when they took communion, the wine had purpose. They had their communion and they went on, but they were not trying to be induced with other spirits. Oh. The Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Okay, I put in parentheses what I want, what I feel. The lust of the flesh. I want what I feel. I want what I feel. I want what I feel. What you feeling today? How you feel about that? What's your thoughts on that? What you want to do? And never inquire of God. You know, I just feel like God wants me to write this book. You can feel like that. Because, you know, we know how to spiritualize things that God never said either. Okay. In the lust of the eyes, I want what I see. You know, that looks good. You know what? They look like they a good couple. I want to be married too. Now you on a whole hunt for a man or a woman. And it wasn't your time. Now you in a quagmire. See what I'm saying? Lust of the eye. Lust of the flesh. And the pride of life, that little sneaky thing that we really don't want to talk about. We really don't want to deal with. Thank you, Minister Chiquita, for bringing that up. Yes, yes, and yes. Again, thank you, Apostle Teresa, for bringing that up. Both of you guys have brought pride up several times as we reviewed, but it's such a little thing that we don't want to look at. I can have what I want. I want to be mad. I want to be offended. I want to be angry. It's not always about wanting food or wanting clothes or wanting somebody else's husband or wife. Sometimes it's just like what she said about being, what Deborah said about wanting to be offended within yourself. Trauma. I was traumatized. I was hurt. I was wronged. And now I can be ignorant because I was hurt. I'm never going to move past the hurt. I'm never going to move past the anger. I'm never going to move past the pain because I like it. Pride. Why? Why? Because you don't want God. You don't want to be in his likeness and image. You like the pain. You like the attention that it gives you. You like being woe is me. You don't like being a king. You don't like being a conqueror, but that's what scripture says we are. Once we come into salvation, it says that we're the overcomers. We're the victorious ones. Come on. I know it's strong, but I'm not wrong. I know that it's tight, but it's still right. All those, I can say all those cliches too. I just do that to give y'all a moment to just get a little relief, because I know what I'm bringing is very, very strong and truthful. And I know that the truth, you know, it can cause me like, oh my God. Right? We got to look at ourselves. Whoa, you're talking about me, right? I'm talking about everybody. None of us can escape this. Why? Because we truly are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So bad things have happened to us, things that we disagree with, things we don't like, and we got to look at our responses. The truth of the matter is we have to look at our responses. And now today, now that we are in Christ Jesus, we have to say and wonder, is God looking at us like, I've given you time, I've given you opportunity, I've connected you with wiser people, I've opened up the scripture to you, you have been taught and you still choose to walk in offense. I had to share with somebody, one of my mentees, about a very painful situation that occurred in their life. And how they were processing what occurred in their life was actually twisted. They didn't know it because they had already sculpted their story. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying to you? Say yes. When we are traumatized, in order to survive, we sculpt a story. We create it. Hear me and hear me well. In the creation of that memory is some truths and some lies. But when you come into Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost as a comforter, as a truth serum, leads you into all truth about the things in the codes that are running in your soul that are truly lies and keeping you from being broken free. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what's afforded us. I want you to remember that as we are going through and as we are wrapping up, listen, God already has declared how he looks at us and what he thinks about us, how we operate, what we're thinking, right? He's already declared that. We want to understand these commands so that we don't fall on the wrong side of the blood. We want to be able to walk this walk out as he is. So I want you to remember that your assignment is to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Ask yourself this week, because I'm going to move on, but ask yourself this week, what things am I in love with that are not of God, but clearly of the world? Y'all hear me? Revisit this scripture, and I pray that the Holy Ghost answers you and speaks to you. Let's move on to slide 19, please. So we went over this scripture last week. I have introduced a new photo. Hear me and hear me well. So we now had Adam, you know, we went through all of the emotions. We went through all of the thoughts that was expressed through Adam's face. But right now, what I want you to think about is the lie that Adam told. I want you to think about the lie that Adam told. I want you to think about and see how I'm demonstrating how the lie, how the serpent went into the mind, the psyche of Adam. Because we don't think that we have this, they call it the reptilian brain. We don't think that this thing is still operating and causing us to react and respond inappropriately. So let's read Genesis 3, 19 and 12. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Where art thou? Right? So we went through last week, right? No, I think 2 weeks ago, I talked about the fact that when a question is posed to you and you can't answer the question directly, that you must realize what? That a lie is being formulated, right? So here we are. Where art thou? His response was, I heard thy voice in the garden. Is that where he is? Did he say, I'm right here? I'm where I always have been? And I want y'all to realize another thing. Did God really have to ask Adam where he was before this moment? Or were they ever present in one another's presence? Were they one? Was God with him all the time? We talked about that breach, right? So we see a physical evidence that there was a separation in locale, right? Okay, here's his second response. I was afraid. Okay, but the question is, where art thou? Are y'all tracking with me? This is total avoidance. I was afraid. Okay. He still hasn't answered, where art thou? But he has a third response. I was naked. Oh my God. His fourth response. I hid myself. Oh, I want y'all to think about that. I want y'all to think about, is that how you respond to questions? Especially in difficult situations? Something you're not ready to really deal with or reveal about yourself, yet it's the time for the discussion. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because there are times, ordained times for discussion. A person to call you, God will put them on your heart, on their heart. And they call and they say, what's going on with you? And I often say, where are you? If I call and I say, so where are you? So in other words, I'm locating you in the spirit and I know clearly what God has told me about where you are, but here's your opportunity to begin to speak where you are so that we can work through some things. Y'all hear me? If anybody's on this line and a leader calls you, or a prophet calls you, or an apostle calls, listen, and they say something like this, I'm telling you that is your opportunity. God has ordained a time for you to have a discussion that will set you free and make you free. Because this could have went differently even if he responded differently here, right? I'm just saying. God might not have had to send the last Adam because redemption took place right then and there. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's just a thought. And he said, okay, hear me and hear me well. This is where the offense, and he shows his offense towards his maker, okay? He says, I'm sorry. Then God asked him another question before. Remember that thought. Who told thee that thou was naked? Has thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? So God asks another question like he generally does, right? And here's where Adam could have told the truth, but yet he told a lie and he responded out of offense. Listen to what he said. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me the tree and I did eat. He's getting smart. He's being flippant. Oh, come on. What kind of response is this to your maker? What kind of response is this to your God? What kind of response is this to your creator? But we do this all the time. We do it all the time. We're flipping towards our leaders. So I know you're flipping towards your maker. We gotta think about these things. We gotta think about our little mouths. I had this tongue, this split tongue present for a reason. Because I want us to understand that if we are not conscious, then our sinful nature, our iniquity will come forth, but it may not be what we really wanted. Are you hearing me? How many times have we said and done things and we know we could have done better, should have done better, and knew better and didn't? That's because we don't want to think about the fact that we must become intentionally conscious about working out our soul salvation, because we actually have a whole unconscious codes running without us. And what is released is a split tongue response, not a righteous response, not a holy response. Come on. These are these quick little reactions. When somebody says, hey, I really like your hair, and you can't just say, oh, thank you. You say something like, oh, this is nothing. Yeah, I'm dealing with a small thing. Because if you can understand the small thing, then you'll understand the larger thing. We got to work this thing out little by little by little. Right? When a person says, hey, I called you. And you say, I didn't see that you called. And you know they called. I know I'm not the only one that's been told that lie. It was a lie. Why? Because I didn't want to hurt that person's feelings. I didn't want that person to feel unimportant. And that person has issues, right? And they don't always understand that I'm not available. So when I said that, it wasn't really about me. I told a lie to help their feelings out. You see? Not to help mine out, because I could tell the truth. But that doesn't make the behavior right. But the problem with society is if we're honest with one another, now it's okay for your feelings to be hurt, but I only told you the truth. So now we got to go through day to day, managing other people's feelings and emotions, managing our own, managing everything in our environment. Are y'all hearing me? But it's not the truth. Because we are kingdom citizens. We need to manage and govern ourselves. And we need to show people through how we manage and govern ourselves, how to manage and govern themselves. Because we are the light in the world. We are the ones that bring truth to every situation. And maybe if we shared more truth, then more of our friends and family could handle more truth. But yet we continuously tell lies. Oh, come on today. Oh, my sister Judy, I love you, boo. Welcome. Listen, guys, we got to work on this because it's killing us and it's killing the body. This is not behavior that you find in Jesus Christ. This is worldly wisdom. This is not kingly wisdom. We set each other free. Because when you tell your sister or your brother, hey, I was on that call, it was important, you know, no slight of you. You know what that does? That gives them an opportunity to look at themselves and say, you know, well, why am I feeling some kind of way? Or what right do I have to feel? You know, at least it gives them the opportunity to start looking at themselves and start working out their own soul salvation and stop messing with yours. Come on. Y'all see what I'm saying? So what we have been doing and the way that the body has been set up is to destroy one another. We're destroying each other's witness. We're destroying each other's salvation. We're destroying one another. We're not building one another up. Come on. And that's on a very minute level. So if we don't comprehend on that level, what other things are we doing that are offensive? So the problem is the lies that are told once offended has nothing to do, okay? Nothing to do with you, your abilities or inabilities to fulfill your duty to protect the kingdom of God and its populace, its citizenry. True, truth, righteousness, and holiness is the way to avoid the lies, the little white lies, the split tongue lies, to not be offended. That was a whole offensive response. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me. He letting God know, you didn't gave me this thing. He always say, you gave me this thing and she not doing, and she not staying with me, and she not doing what I asked her to do. And so I did what she asked me to do. And now I'm feeling like, you know, I need to hide from you. Now I'm lying to you. See, he blamed it all on her. But God simply asked, where art thou? He wanted to deal with him. All right, some of y'all catch it tomorrow. Or maybe you caught it today, you just not letting me know. If you caught it today, let me know. Say, I caught it. Because you know what? That's true. I'm showing y'all the proof. The truth of the matter is, he totally was offended by God, because he had been able to keep everything before her. Are you hearing me? And now he got his first challenge. And guess what? This is for you, Katrina. He's all in his feelings. Are y'all hearing me? He's all in his feelings. Katrina said, I'm really dropping a nugget when I go like this. I start whispering and going like this. That's why I said this for you, Katrina. Listen, he's all in his feelings. And nobody, I don't care what you say, the church does not teach us from this perspective so that we can come to Christ and get out of our feelings. We come into Christ. It's okay to be ignorant in your feelings in the world, because the world, that's where your feelings belong. But when you come into Christ and become a citizenry of Jesus Christ, a populace of the Lord Jesus Christ, you come into righteousness and holiness. And guess what? That's not a part of it. You mature. You look at yourself, you work out your soul salvation. And if Adam did it right before him, I want to know how much more are we? Just a question I'm posing. I was afraid. Fear entered Adam and Adam became sensual. Hear me and hear me well. Adam became aware of his flesh and knowledgeable of evil. Are you hearing me? That's that little serpent that, y'all see that? That just weaseled on in through the first eating, So in other words, I'm saying through the first eating, because I want you to think about your first responses. I want you to think about what you're doing, because what you do, sometimes we can't even take some of these things back. So we have to become mindful. We have to be conscious about how we're moving when we're by ourselves and when we're with people. It is not okay to just do what you feel. Matters of the senses must operate and override kingdom wisdom when you are avoiding truth. Therefore, works of the flesh must become the dependent wisdom, as the truth is no longer relied upon. Stories are told, but the truth of eternal wisdom, which is God's laws and commands, are overridden. Do you hear me? Gross darkness took over Adam's mind. In that day, you will surely die, meant in the spirit of his mind. Hear me and hear me well. His mind began to disintegrate. His mind went from light to having speckles of darkness. Are you hearing me? Visualize this. The truth is light. The lie is darkness. So when you begin to lie, You know what happens in Nigeria. Prophet Nigeria broke this down last Tuesday. If you didn't watch the recap, you got to watch it, because she definitely went into the physicality of it. She went into how it affects you. The lie affects you. And guess what? The lie brings on Alzheimer's. You can no longer remember. Adam didn't remember. Adam just went on with the lie. And it continued. Are y'all hearing me? This is a form of mental disintegration. His awareness, what he was supposed to do, what he was about, how he was supposed to walk. It started dissipating, fading away. Oh, come on. Gross darkness took over Adam's mind. In that day, you will surely die, meant in the spirit of his mind, which communes with his spirit. Come on. That spirit, your mind communes with your spirit, okay? Which regulates your soul, which determines if we enter into heaven or hell. That's why we have to work out our soul salvation. I need you to understand this. These are not words. This is not just scripture. This is instructional. This is eternal wisdom of why we have to work out our soul salvation. Working out our soul salvation and living in truth allows us to have the mind of Christ. We don't have the mind of Christ with darkness. You understand what I'm saying? We don't have the mind of Christ with lies. It doesn't work like that. Slide 19. Mm-hmm. Are we there? Are we on slide 19? All right. Come on over to slide 19. Okay, come to the next one, whatever is it. Oh, there we go. All right. Offense is deadly. We all know the scripture is up there, but we know what happened, right? And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother. He rose up against his brother. Are you my brother? Are you my brother in Christ? Are you my brother in Christ? Because if you are my brother in Christ, and if I'm not working out my soul salvation, I might rise up against you and kill you. Oh, come on today. Let's make it real. Let's keep it real. This is when keeping it real goes right. Not wrong. This is when keeping it real goes right, because the problem within the body of Christ, one, we don't revere each other as brothers. We revere each other as competition. Or we just revere each other as nobodies. Just somebody, you know, hey. Even though we say, I love you. Come on. Love looks like something, by the way. When they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Are we slewing each other with lies because of lies? Are we downgrading one another in our reverence to each other because we didn't like how you said it, or we didn't like how you responded, or we didn't like how you looked, or we saw one little thing and we thought, oh, well, they not real. You understand what I'm saying? We're doing so much downgrading off of false information. But I'm trying to teach you how to live in the kingdom. Totally petty. And it doesn't belong in the kingdom. Okay. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thou brother? You see how God is. He always deal with us. Where is Abel thy brother? As if he doesn't know. He knows. And he said, I know not. Oh, we showing how the lies are starting to advance. Because we out of the garden. We're showing how the lies. Oh, come on today. This is offspring wisdom now, right? This is Adamic offspring wisdom. Hear me? and hear me well, generational. So his daddy said, well, we know, you know. He really belonged to, well, you know, the serpent. You see what I'm saying? Like, but it was because the serpent had entered Eve, you know, he ate. So now the serpent is in him. So that's how we got serpentine offspring. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Because there was an entering. There was an infiltration in the semen. This is on a biotic level. This is not outside of us. This is inside of us. Right? This is on a biology level, right? This is on a genealogy level, right? This is on a blood level. And I'm saying all this to say, because we must understand that we're born with these innate instincts. But we have the living Christ inside of us that we can tap into and begin to develop and override our innate instincts, right? But if you never recognize or point out or have that conversation with yourself for the purpose of deliverance and healing, because I am one that God himself can deliver and heal you as well. You don't always need a middleman. Okay? The moment that you seek truth in your inward parts, you're going to have a God that's going to show up and deal with you about you. The issue is that the body of Christ doesn't do this, doesn't talk about this. And so you are always thinking that you got to go to somebody in order to get healed and delivered. You're always thinking that it's something wrong with you and somebody got to help you. But how about the scripture can help you? How about the God himself can help you? If you just have an ear to hear, if you're taught in this fashion to now start looking for that type of help. Okay. Look at what he said next. Now, he got smart like his daddy. I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Oh, absolutely you are. Because you live in the kingdom and we keep one another. Absolutely you are. That's your brother and we live in the kingdom and we keep one another. What do you mean? What is this language? What is this behavior? What is this outlook? It is not of me. Oh, come on today. You got to wonder whose thought processes you're bringing before the king. Because the scripture will show you when you are thinking endemically. It's not okay to just say what you think and think that he's okay with it. He's saying he's, look, all right, study it out for yourself. That's what I got to say about that. Offense is deadly. Adam was crippled with fear and devoid of freedom. Are y'all hearing me? He once had no fear of the unknown. After all, he is the one that dressed the garden, instilled government, and lived in peace among the beasts of the earth and the fowl of the air. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? That was Adam. How does Adam go from fearless to fearful? Fear of the unknown is not the state of the mind of Christ. So if you are riddled with fear, if you are riddled with anxiety, you didn't get that from Jesus Christ. And if you are operating like that within the body, you are out of order. Hear me and hear me well. You're out of order and you're not representing his likeness nor his image. Yes, I'm destroying sacred cows this morning because somebody got to say it and I'm going to say it. It is a lie to think that you can be in Christ and remain the same. It is a lie to think that you can be in Christ and not work out your soul salvation. It is a lie to think that you can be in Christ and be ignorant because that's ignorant behavior. Fear and anxiety is ignorant behavior. It is not kingdom behavior. It's not God behavior, because you can go to God or you can trust God. Either way, there's a belief factor and a trust factor that's not present that should be present, because you're believing that his blood is what sets you free. So therefore, I'm already saying that you don't believe in his blood and it's not working on your behalf, because if his blood is working on your behalf, there's evidence through your behavior, through your operation, through your progress. Listen, we can measure your salvation. We can measure it. He's measuring it. Come on today. So much we must learn and grow in. We don't have the mind of Christ, and we are putting ourselves in harm's way. That's what I'm saying to you today. I am preaching this gospel because I want you to stop putting yourself in harm's way, because Adam did not have anyone to say, don't put yourself in harm's way. But now today, he's left what, the fivefold in the threefold. Our job is to preach the gospel and say to you, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Don't put yourself in harm's way. He's dealing with you right now. He's not going to deal with you when you die. He's dealing with you right now. It's ever present. It's not on layaway. There is no layaways on salvation. You know what, God? Let me put 10% down and hold that 90. I'm going to work it out in increments, and I'll pick it up when I'm ready. That's not how salvation works. You turn from your wicked ways. You work out your soul salvation. You read your scripture. You be determined to be the overcomer. You are the victorious one. And that's your language. That's your thought process. I don't care the circumstance. I believe in Jesus Christ. You walk like our predecessors. Listen, you walk the earth like Jesus. You walk the earth like those prophets. You believe what the Lord said. You walk the earth like those apostles, and you declare that darkness is not your portion, but the truth and the light is your way. Come on today. That's your portion. Truth consistently renews us in the spirit of our minds. I want you to remember that. 3 John 2:1 says, beloved, you guys see the scripture, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Why would God talk about your soul prospering? Why would he want that to happen if it wasn't important, if we can remain the same? If there's no need for our dysfunctional souls to change, if there's no need for our endemic souls to be put away, childish play, if there's no need for our brokenness to be defeated, tell me. Because he says, beloved, I wish above all things. That means it can happen. I'm hoping for you. I'm praying for you. I'm sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you, Sade, interceding for you, Minister Shakita, interceding for you, Judy, interceding for you, Nzinga, interceding for you, Prophet Tarsha, interceding for you, Apostle Teresa, interceding for you, Minister Dawes. Are you hearing me today? Jesus is interceding for you. What's your evidence? Or are you opening up your mouth and saying the same old thing, doing the same old thing from day to day, not taking the time to renew your mind? But that is the purpose of salvation. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. Don't come telling me that you're saved, because I'm looking at you. I'm listening to you. I'm watching you. And you're speaking with words and without words. Your life speaks. Your life says, not. just what you say, not just tagging on, I'm a Christian, not just saying, I believe in God. What God? Because if you believe in Jesus Christ, then you believe in his resurrection power. And if you believe in his resurrection power, then that means that you are resurrected with him. And if you are resurrected with Christ Jesus, that means that you walk in dunamis power. And if you walk in dunamis power, that means mental health is not your portion. That means depression is not your portion. That means oppression is not your portion. That means success is. Success where? In your soul. Come on. That means your soul is set free. That means that you have abundant life. Come on today. It's your job to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Are you walking out God's acceptable and good and perfect will? Because it's found in the scripture. It was the problem with Adam. He forgot what was good. He forgot what was perfect. He forgot the will of God. Come on, have you? Or let me ask you this question. Have you ever entered into what that is? Have you searched the scripture for yourself, or are you living off of somebody else's doctrine and you don't know God for yourself? You only know church. You only know church. I don't care if you've been in church for 40 years, 50 years, 5 years, or 3 months. Are you proving what is good according to scripture? Are you proving? Come on. Not what you think is good. I just destroyed everybody who thinks their standard is God's standard. Go find his standard before you think you could stand up in the public square and declare what is and what isn't of God. Learn. And make sure that you have his spirit in you, because I just showed you how the reptilian spirit is existing even right now, today, in everybody. This is why we must be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And how can you tell you're renewed in the spirit of your mind? Because you become as he is. Check your behavior and see where you're at. Measure that before you measure others. You see what I'm saying? Because once you get a handle on measuring where you are in Christ, guess what? Now you can measure where people are in Christ. You're judged to the same measure in which you judge. So if your judgment is off, you're probably going to misjudge other people. That's why we got to start working on ourselves. And we can say, you know what? I used to think like that, but now I don't. What's my evidence of that? Well, yesterday when such and such said whatever, I didn't even respond. You know what? I didn't even really hear it. Somebody else had to say to me, you know, such and such got flipping with you, and you didn't even respond, because people start telling you how you change. You don't tell yourself. People literally start telling you, girl, you have changed. God is looking good on you. Oh my God. I'm telling you, it's the truth. I didn't realize I had changed, and I was no longer gangster Johnita till people started telling me. And people in the cars, you know, they were like, you're not running red lights. Listen, I had road rage. I had every kind of rage because I was hurt. I had survived some things, and it was bleeding out. It was showing up in every department of my life. But when Jesus showed up on the inside of me, he began to show up in every department of my life. And I wasn't given the report. My friends and family were giving me the report that this walk was doing something different and causing me to show up differently. So I'm not teaching something I don't know. I'm teaching what I had to walk. I'm teaching what set me free. I'm teaching what got me free. I'm teaching what keeps me free. Are y'all hearing me today? It's not just hot for you guys. It's hot for me too. Because guess what? Once you say yes, you got to keep it. You don't get to go back and forth, in and out, up and down. I don't get to be a minister today and not a minister tomorrow. A minister at 5 a.m., but not a minister at 5 p.m. I don't get to do that. Hear me and hear me well. Some of y'all catch that. Ephesians 4:23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore putting away, hear me and hear me well. Wherefore putting away lying, the lies we tell. Scripture tells us that when our spirit is renewed in our mind, we put away lying. So there's a measuring stick right there. Am I lying? Okay, that means I need more renewing. Where in the spirit of my mind? Are y'all hearing me? Because we like to work on external things. You know what? I just needed to slow. You know, I said that because I was in a rush. I said, no. You said that because you're not renewed in the spirit of your mind. Because when you're renewed in the spirit of your mind, sometimes truth come out even when you don't want it to. Sometimes you wind up telling people the truth and you had no intention on telling them the truth. You was going to figure out a better way to say it. You were going to come up with a different type of story. We talked about that earlier, right? We dealt with that earlier, that mindset. But when you are renewed in the spirit of your mind, lying stops. Speak every man truth. He said, speak every man truth. He said, bring the truth to the situation. Bring the truth to the situation. Bring the truth to the situation. Listen, put away the lie. Bring the truth to the situation. Oh, it's a reason why. And he didn't just say with yourself, but with his neighbor, with one another. Why can't we be truthful with one another? Why? Here we go again. He's defining why again. For we are members one of another. Are you my brother? Or am I my brother's keeper? Yes. I'm going to say it again. Yes. Yes. I'm sorry, guys. Y'all got to let me walk this thing out. I can't skip through, because if I skip, we're going to continue to miss, and I can't do it. So whatever I don't get finished through today, I'll finish it up on Tuesday as much as possible. But please hang in there with me. Are y'all hearing me? For we are members one of another. Revere one another. Love each other. Respect each other in truth, not in the false love, which is a lie. Come on. And we all been through it. We are part of a church. Everybody's saying, I love you. And next thing you know, when they don't agree or when the leader don't agree with you, they no longer love you. The love is suddenly gone. That's not God. Your friends are no longer your friends. Those who you have spent time with and built relationship with are no longer with you. They're now against you. They're no longer your brother. Hear me and hear me well. So this is why Apostle Johnita Collins subscribes to the truth. I'd rather you just deal with me in truth than to deal with me in your love, because I don't know what your love is really about, nor where it comes from. I don't know the foundation of your love. I don't know the wisdom of your love. Your wisdom of your love could be sensual. It could be worldly. And so therefore, it will leave me at a drop of a dime. It will forsake me at a drop of a dime. It will hurt me at a drop of a dime. It will turn on me at a drop of a dime. So let me deal with you and you deal with me in truth, because at least we could get some. Does that make sense? If that makes sense to anybody, just put yes in the chat for me today, because I know this is not what is taught in the body of Christ. We betray each other over and over and over and over again with our sensual love and affection towards one another. But I'm telling you today, I'm preaching today, and I'm teaching today that truth is a better way. Because at least I know where you stand. And you know where I stand. Now, no reptile can bite us, because we know where we stand. There's no need for reptilian work, because we know where we stand. We can stay in freedom with one another, because we know where we stand. And guess what else happens? You might start genuinely caring for one another, because we know where we stand. Now you can say, I like such and such. I may not get with this portion, but I like them. Then what happens is, you know what? I love such and such because they truly are who they are. And I'm praying for that portion for God to work it out with them. Then I'm going to shut that spirit there. Mind your business and pray correctly. You see what I'm saying? There's a better way. There's a more mature way. There's a more authentic way. But you don't know where God has people. You don't know where he's working things out inside of people. But you could just build an authentic relationship by being truthful, honest with God. Instead of being offended, because this offense once again was with God, but it was taken out on man because he was offended that God did not accept his offering. And he never said, but why, God? I want mine accepted too. You see, it's okay to say, I would like to come up higher too in my thinking, because he could have took that route, but instead, he killed his brother. Come on to that. Another version says, to be renewed in your mental attitude. ISV, in your mental attitude. To be renewed in your mental attitude. Last week, I talked about the mental health inside the body of Christ. But here it is showing up. The spirit of your mind, your mental health. Your mental attitude, the spirit of your mind, how you are processing. Come on. And clothe yourselves with the new nature. What is the new nature? Holiness, righteousness, truth in your inward parts. That's your new nature, which was created according to God's image and righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, stripping off, come on, falsehoods. Come on. We talked about it, falsehoods, that phony love. I love you, sis. You know, we family in the church. You know, we not family no more? Oh, you didn't like what I said. Now we not family. Now you can't stand me. Now you're going to murder me. You're going to murder my character. You're going to talk about me behind my back. You're going to stab me. I mean, we don't even have to go outside of the body of Christ to experience the harshness of the world. And that shouldn't be. The ecclesia should be more like Jesus Christ's world on earth. The ecclesia should have holy and righteous operations and relationships building up the kingdom. But we'll get on that another day. Let each of you speak the truth to his neighbor. Let each of you, not just the apostles, not just the prophets, not just the pastors, not just the teachers, not just the evangelists, let each of you, brothers, let each of you, before the titles, we're brothers. Let each of you, before the office, we're brothers. We're citizens of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Excuse me, y'all got me preaching today. Come on here. Are y'all hearing me? Before anything else, scripture is telling us that we are brothers, and we should care for one another in truth. We should speak truth and have truthful relationships with one another. Can you accommodate that in your soul? Can you accommodate that in your mind? Can you accommodate that in your spirit? Because I promise you, if you accommodate that, if you begin to build that, then we could not kill one another. We could not slaughter one another. We could not badger one another. We could not backstab one another. Come on here. We would be a unified force. Absolutely, Judy. We would walk in unity. We would think up. We would have one mind, and we would tear down the spirit and the principalities of darkness just with unity, because that is what scripture teaches us. Come on. So can you see how we are looking and living out the evidence of doctrines of devils in our lives? Because the body of Christ, these leaders are not teaching you to follow Jesus Christ. They're teaching you to downgrade and destroy yourself through the doctrine of a false love. Come on, hear me and hear me well. We're finishing strong. That's what we're going to do with this lesson. We're finishing strong in our identity. The world likes to say to you, when you come into a job, or when you're talking about building wealth, when you're talking about doing business, listen, the big question is, what is your why? Tell us, what is your why? They ask because they want to know how to keep you in that position. So if your why is, I want leadership, they're going to put you in leadership training. If your why is, I want more money, they're going to put you in leadership training. Hear me and hear me well, because everything's going to go back to leadership training to gauge you towards where they want you to go. But here's my question to you. What is your why for being in Christ Jesus? What is your why? Because I am of the mindset that many people in Christ Jesus is not in Christ Jesus to change and become as he is. That is not why. Many people in Christ Jesus is not into this because they want to be saved, because they want salvation to work in their behalf, because they want to get into heaven. I do not believe that. I believe many are in Christ Jesus because somebody told them they need to be in Christ Jesus. I believe many are in Christ Jesus because they see some money that they can make. I believe many are in Christ Jesus because now they want some kind of position and title that don't require a degree. Come on. Oh, I'm about to take off. Listen to me and listen to me well. Only in the church can people be ignorant. Be the dumbest person, the most ignorant person, and lead the people straight to hell. And people follow. People follow. People give up their money. They give up their time. They give up their talents. Because they don't have a why in Jesus Christ. They don't love God. They never loved God. They don't want God. They want that pastor. They want that prophet. They want that apostle, but they don't want the truth. They don't want the scripture. They don't want to be set free. That's why the body looks the way that it is. And it is not jointly fitting. And it's a crying shame. It's a whole shame to Jesus Christ. It's an offense to him. It's an offense. It's an offense to the scripture. It's a whole offense. And it will not continue. Because guess what? At the beginning and the end of this day, I'm in Jesus for Jesus. And that's why most people don't like me, can't handle me, and don't like the way I teach. But ask me if I care, because I don't. Because if you listen, you might get in the number. Because your salvation is being questioned. And it's not being questioned by me. It's being questioned by the King of all kings. Hear me and hear me well today. Take it or leave it, but I said it. And if you don't like it, read your scripture, because you'll find that it's the truth. I apologize right now. Psych, no, I don't. There it is. Be renewed in your mental attitude. and to clothe yourselves with the new nature, which was created according to God's image and righteousness and true holiness. We fell in that area. You don't have righteousness. You don't have true holiness. You think that you do, but it's pompous, it's arrogant, and it's a lie, and it's full of pride. There's no truth in you. That's why you can't identify the truth. Therefore, stripping off falsehoods, you are phony and a fake. One thing people going to say about Apostle Johnita Collins, it is what it is, and she is who she is. That's a period. There's nothing else to be said about it. Let each of us speak the truth to his neighbor. I'm going to tell you the truth, and I'm going to pray that you take the truth and get yourself set free so that you can make it into heaven. Because guess what? Other than that, whatever your earthly riches are, that's what you're going to have, but you're going straight to hell. That's the bottom line. Open and close. It is no in between, because he said he'll spew in between out. There's no lukewarm in Jesus Christ. It's only hot in Jesus Christ. And there's only cold. And cold is in Satan. But guess what? He can take somebody from cold and make them hot. I'm a testament to that. But I'm not here to give my testimony. I'm here to preach the gospel and teach it. 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Command each and every one of you today to come into your sound mind. Command each and every one of you today to come into the truth and the wisdom of Jesus Christ. I command each and every one of you today to pull on Jesus Christ and see what you find. I command for each and every one of you today to follow the Holy Ghost and let's see how much truth enters into the inward parts of you. Listen, and listen to me well. Offense is deadly. You get to pick and choose what you want to walk in. Are you dead or alive? Is what Apostle Teresa asked a couple of months back. I'm asking you, are you telling a lie or eluding the truth? Either way, you can't build a house. Your house is being built on sinking sand and it's going down. Because Jesus needs people who will fight and stand up for him. Later for this false doctrine in the body of Christ, confusing our younger people, tripping them out of salvation before they can even get in. What is happening? And everybody's prancing around and saying and acting like it's okay. It's not okay. I'm a king. And you come for me and the king will respond because I'm under a sovereign God. And that's the bottom line. We are riddled with fear of preaching the true gospel. What kind of mess is that? We are riddled. The body of Christ is riddled with fear of preaching the true gospel, afraid that nobody will show up. Well, Jesus will take by many and he will take by few. So if your why is all about Jesus, then just be with the few. Why must it be a mega? Mega what? Mega mess. That's what we're having. And they're falling. Mega mess. Adam was crippled with fear in the void of freedom. He once had no fear of the unknown. After all, he is the one that dressed the garden. I want y'all to remember that. Because some of you on the line was once free of fear. And some of you on the line are now riddled and crippled with fear. Some of you were crippled with fear and now finding yourself in freedom. Either way, I want you to keep this in the forefront of your mind as you walk throughout your week this week. And I want you to pray to the Holy Ghost to reveal to you where you are concerning fear, because God did not give you the spirit of fear. That means something, even it may be you, are working iniquity against your own mind. You, not the devil, you. Truth consistently renews us in the spirit of our mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. We must put on our new nature until it is our life and lifestyle, declaring that we are regenerated in Christ, truly created in God's image, and operating in true righteousness and holiness, which is likeness of Jesus the Christ. It is one 13. I want to go on. Can I go on? Can y'all hang in there with me for 15 more minutes? Can you give me 15? Because I want to finish this message out. We have a short video that I must have y'all to watch, right? Because now I want to go into the science of what's really happening, because we got to deal with this, not just in the spirit, but we have to deal with it in the natural, right? And the problem is we're not educated in dealing with these issues. And this is not a matter of somebody coming and smearing oil on you and laying hands on you and hashabroso korobata and knocking you down. And now you coming up with a new spirit in your mind. It ain't working like that. I said it. It ain't working like that. So let's take a closer look at why we override the truth. Listen, write this down. Write this down. Let's take a closer look at why we override the truth, why we see but overlook the truth of what we see, why we hear yet ignore the truth of what we hear. Let's look at it from a medical and professional view, okay? Prophet Nzinga, can we go to slide 21 and let's just...
Anxiety is one of those... My name is Katie McLaughlin, and I am a licensed professional clinical counselor here in Ohio, and I am super passionate about getting mental health education out into the world so it can positively impact your life. And over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be diving into what anxiety actually is and why we feel so afraid and uncomfortable. Today, we're just going to start at the very beginning and walk through how our brain actually detects these possible threats and starts that whole process of fight, flight, freeze, all those things that you might know already about anxiety. We're just going to start at the very beginning and go from there. So stay tuned. At its core, anxiety is our body's fear response. It is our threat detection system, our warning system, and our protective system. Anxiety's number one function and number one goal is to keep us safe and to keep us alive. There are so many different mechanisms that are involved or at play in this broad subject of anxiety. So today we're really just going to keep it as simple as possible and look at this threat detection piece. There is a very primitive part of the brain called the amygdala. There are actually two of them, but you'll usually just see it in its singular form, so I'm just gonna stick with that. Our amygdala is constantly searching for threats throughout our daily life. And through our ancestry, it's really evolved to be able to go through this threat detection process at a subconscious level, which means we don't even know that it's actually happening. This process is called neuroception. Once a possible threat is actually detected by the amygdala, it then sends signals to other brain structures to turn on these other mechanisms within the body to make sure to keep us safe and alive. So the amygdala learns through experiences, and through each and every one of the experiences throughout our entire life, starting at the time that we're an infant or even when we're in utero, these experiences are categorized as safe or dangerous. The amygdala is basically kind of taking these little snapshots of what's going on, especially in times when we are actually feeling afraid. Now, because these snapshots are so broad and so general through these experiences, and it's not only focusing on the trigger itself that is making us afraid, it's looking at the entire picture, that means that we could be going through our daily life, and if the amygdala starts to get a sense for anything from those experiences that might be slightly similar, it starts to send out those signals as if it's detecting a threat. Which means that the amygdala might remember, you know, what music was on in the background during this triggering situation, or what color shirt that mean girl was wearing that one day that you got bullied. And it brings that information into the neuroception process, which means that we can be going about our daily life and maybe we feel fear without really understanding why we feel fear. Now, depending on genetics, family history, our entire life experience, and even sometimes our family members' experiences as well, based on these factors, our amygdala is going to have a certain level of activation. And at this level of activation, influences influences basically our level of anxiety, and it can be more or less than other people just because we all go through very different family backgrounds and very different life experiences. And sure, the amygdala is not the only player when it comes to anxiety, but it does play a huge role in this process. And the good news is that there are a lot of different ways to calm the activation in the amygdala.
Okay. She's going to get into, you know, some of the things I don't believe. She's going to get into meditation and things like that, and not just, you know, meditating on the word. So that's why we're stopping there. But what I hope that you're coming to understand, the amygdala, which is often referred to as the oldest part of our brain, right? That it has been spoken of. It's been talked about. If you've done any kind of research, because I understand what God is calling me to, I'm constantly researching, and I want to understand where we are in our emotions, how our emotions work, how our mind works, because you have to understand both sides in order to flourish, because you got to understand and begin to get to the root of things. Does that make sense to everybody? Right? So just raise your hand. How many people have studied this part of their brain? Okay, so we have a few, and that's just how it is, right? But it's an important thing to understand, and in order for us to break through. So if you, I mean, just in what she said, did that make any sense to you guys? Like, wait a minute, I gotta think about my emotional center. What I have, okay, wait, something happened to me in green, they had on green, or they had that sense. Like, we can understand it when it's big like that, right? And some of us say, you know, oh, I got this trigger, right? But here's the truth of the matter. Is that how we, should that be a reason why we're bound? That doesn't give us permission to remain bound. Right? That doesn't give us permission to do nothing about it. Right? That means that we actually have permission, and we can focus on overcoming those situations, those things that are etched in our soul. This is where our prayer life becomes like fire. Because there's a whole healing available to us, and God can do it for us. But he has to do it with us. Are you hearing me? So if you never think about, wait a minute, I read the scripture, renewing in my mind, I'm going to meditate on this. Most people start where they are, and they never come into the understanding. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity. What sin was I born in? What iniquity did I suffer under? We all have our own stories. I'm just saying that we have to start slowing down, and we have to what? Become professionals at our job to understand our King and to work out our soul salvation, not just confessors. Are you hearing me? I said study those words because it's a reason, because there's a difference. Listen, word of faith is confession. They confess so much that many people have lost their faith in Jesus Christ because they confessed so much that didn't actually come to pass. That was a false way of approaching God. That's a doctrine of man. But it's not the way of the King. Are you hearing me? I'm so serious. This is why we're not getting ahead. So with that being said, I'm going to wrap up on this slide. Apostle Teresa has been talking about houses, right? That was the teaching from last month, houses. Right where I'm sorry, let me get her to the right slide. Slide 22. Sorry, I didn't. Okay, you guys got it. Apostle Teresa has been talking about houses. She has been inquiring and asking the conservators, what type of house will you build? Will it be one that the Lord can dwell in, or will it be one of offense? Apostle Teresa says she wants you to understand that your goal in life is to build a place where God can dwell in. Are y'all hearing? Saul didn't. David and Jonathan did. And Jonathan never complained. So he never took offense about his lot in life, his destiny and fate. That is how she wrapped up our last teaching. Unfortunately, the truth is due to humanistic church doctrine, the truth of the matter, that due to humanistic church doctrine, the average Christian salvation is not rooted in the truth. Hence why it's bound in sin. But today, guys, listen, we have to look closer and continue to dive deeper into the thought processes of our predecessors to gain eternal wisdom for us to win. That's what this whole teaching has been about. I'm wrapping this up, right? I wanted you guys to be able to connect offense, and that's why we studied the way that we did, and to bring it into modern understanding. I'm praying that every teaching has caused you to be able to see how these behaviors and what offense really looks like and how it's operating in our lives every day, all day, if we allow it, right? I needed that to happen. Also, we modernly need to understand the reptilian brain. The concept of the reptilian brain originated from the triune brain theory, which was developed by neuroscientist Paul McLean. Y'all can look it up and study for yourselves. I do recommend. According to this theory, the human brain consists of three layers: the reptilian complex, the limbic system, and the neural cortex. And of course, for the sake of our time and the sake of our teaching, we only focus on the reptilian brain, which is the oldest part of the brain. It is responsible for basic survival instincts and behaviors, including aggression, dominance, territoriality, and survival responses. We see how basic instinctual responses like survival instincts, aggression, defense mechanisms, and fear can lead to feelings of offense and subsequent actions through Adam and through Eve. We also talked about it earlier concerning Job and Jonah. That was on the chart. Remember the chart last week? Go through that, because I really took the time to break this down, which is why I'm not breaking it down again. And that's just to name a few. On that chart, I think I had at least 8 accounts at minimum, right? But you know that there are more. This primal behavior helps explain why individuals react strongly to perceived injustices. Write that down. How am I reacting to perceived injustices? How am I reacting to unmet expectations? Hear me and hear me well. How am I reacting to challenges to my understanding or to your understanding? How am I reacting to control? I need you to think about this, because guess what? The problem and the reason why we have these liberal doctrines out here is because somebody started a lie saying being in Christ was too controlling. It was too restrictive. And so now we have all these different forms of doctrine out here to release us from the control of Jesus Christ. But if you read the scripture correctly, you would understand the reason why there is control in the kingdom, because control in the kingdom keeps everything protected and in its proper place. It keeps the lions and the bears from deciding that it's going to chew you up, because it stays in its own habitat. Do you understand? I'm just using that as an example. But I need you to understand that false doctrines have gone forth and they don't help us in processing the scripture. Because if we don't get back to wanting to understand the lawgiver and understand his laws, then I still want to know, why does his whole world, or why should his whole world respond to you? This challenges us. This causes us to see that, wait a minute, or have to ask, are we actually in the number, or are we going on the false doctrine that we can just say a salvation prayer and that's it? Lord, come into my heart. He's not coming into your heart, because he said, I give you a clean heart, a new heart. That heart is found, that scripture is found in Ezekiel. Read your scripture. And in that heart, it's already inscribed. His word is already inscribed. He does away with that old funky heart that's born in sin and shaped in iniquity, that has every remembrance of hurt and pain and trauma and brokenness. Come on. I don't find that in the scripture. He's not going to do it like that, right? So the main thing that I wanted to do was align us with our psychological processes and our spiritual truths, right? What I wanted us to understand is that emotions such as fear and pleasure, when viewed through the lens of scripture, can be regulated and transformed to reflect a life of faith, a life of truth, a life of trust, and a life of joy in our Lord. That is what salvation can provide for you, right? I want us to look at this slide. I'm sure y'all probably were already reading it, possibly, right? But salvation versus sabotage. I want y'all to understand what took place and why salvation is so important. That's going to be my last teaching, right? Salvation versus sabotage. The truth versus the lie. This is what we're dealing with. Take a picture. The Lord's logo versus vain imagination. The mind of Christ versus reptilian brain. Eternal wisdom versus survival instinct. God's will versus our desire. Understanding versus our ideology. You hear me? If you just walked yourself through this, I promise you, just dealing with this list alone would put you more in alignment with your God. According to Joshua 24, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Come on. We gotta go back and wonder, do we fear the Lord? Adam didn't. Adam said, you gave me that woman. That's not fear. That's not reverence. That's not any kind. That's not love. What was he thinking? You gave me that woman. You talking to the one that loves you. You talking to the one that created you. But because what? His desire wasn't fulfilled, God's will could no longer be fulfilled. Hear me. Look at this. Because he didn't keep the mind of Christ, reptilian brain was fulfilled. I'm just giving you this list because it can flip and flop back and forth. If one is happening, then the other one can happen. If one can happen, then the other one can happen. It's actually a measurement for you to be able, begin to journal. How does my salvation look? How does sabotage look in my life? What does truth look like in my life? What does the lie look like in my life? Excuse me. Serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. Listen, we still can bring this up to date. We still can put this in our everyday context. Because when he starts talking about our ancestors, our fathers, all of that, we all come from lines where there was some kind of mixture in the faith. Even if we come from a line of folks that's been in church all the days of their life and their daddy's been in church all their understanding of being in church and being in Christ is two different things. No one escapes sin and iniquity, no one. And just because they were in church and they wasn't drinking and they wasn't drugging or partying, that doesn't mean that they had no sin. That doesn't mean that they didn't teach you some false truths. That doesn't mean that they didn't suffer from idolatry of man. You understand what I'm saying? We gotta take the blinders off, take our small thinking off, and put on the mind of Christ. We have to work out the logos of Jesus Christ. We have to have a logic system that's rooted in eternity's wisdom and no longer rooted in man's wisdom. Then we can begin to ask ourselves the right questions and get ourselves free. But because we have our own worldly ideas, we still cannot really hear the fullness and the clarity of what God and what the Holy Ghost wants to give us. Because we always got our reason why. What's your why? Why don't you understand what's being said? Why can't you receive what's being taught? You see what I'm saying? We gotta start asking the whys. Okay. He says, In Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. We need to leave these old things, old behaviors, old mindsets behind and serve the Lord. Pick up today. Pick up and be willing to just have a new mind. Be willing to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And if it seems evil unto you, oh, come on. If it seems evil unto you to hear what the apostle is teaching today, I'm just filling in for Jesus Christ right now. If this message of telling the truth, the lies we tell, and the truth we elude seems evil unto you and causes you not to be able to serve the Lord, then choose ye this day whom you will serve. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Y'all hear what I'm saying? I'm just saying. Because people want to be offended by the word and by the truth. But what they'll say is, I'm offended by the tone. I'm offended by the fire. I'm offended by the voice. I'm offended by, it wasn't sweet enough. It wasn't soft enough. It wasn't produced this way. She didn't say it this way, but my old teacher taught it this way. And she took, you understand what I'm saying? People come up with their story and try and be what? That's what Adam did. That's why I'm just going to use myself. Because Adam was really offended with God. It came out later when he said, you gave me that woman, right? That's where the truth really came out of how he really felt. You gave me that woman. She's not listening to me. So people are always looking for people to blame why they want to be offended. A person has to come into play. But the truth of the matter is, they're offended at God. They're offended at the truth. Scripture tells us that. So the more and more you grow in wisdom, knowledge, and information in Jesus Christ, the more it causes you to look at you and your responses. The more it causes you to ask, am I offended at you, God? I know I'm trying to focus on this person, but where does my issue really lie? Are you bringing me more into you and it's hurting me because you're cutting away the flesh, because you're challenging the lies, because you're dealing with my filthy soul, because you're dealing with my filthy mind, because you're causing me to come. I'm now hearing the truth and I'm now hearing wisdom that's going to challenge me and I wasn't challenged before. So now I'm offended. Because before, I was okay. I was the king. I was running the show. Everything was going my way. You see, everything was going his way. He thinking it happened. Everybody was in agreement. But truth causes the lie to come to the surface. The truth of the matter is, will we address the lie that we've been telling ourselves as it rises up, or will we push it off onto somebody else and say, I am feeling this way and acting this way because of other things and other circumstances? It's right here in the scripture. By the way, God calls that evil. It's right here in the scripture. He doesn't agree with that behavior. And he says, well, if you feel that way, then go on and choose what God you want to serve. Choose ye this day. I'm just saying, whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God is saying, choose. Because guess what? He himself serves the Lord. God himself serves himself. God himself keeps the command. God himself upholds the rules. God, oh, come on today, somebody getting it? God himself. So my question to you with your humanistic reptilian brain process is, what makes you think you are above the law, let alone can change it and decide that it should go a different way? Hear me and hear me well. Listen, through this understanding, because I'm done. Bop, bop, boom. I'm done, okay? Through this understanding, we as kings can guard our hearts and minds, ensuring our emotional responses glorify God and promote and prove that we are spiritually well and our souls are healthy and we are well beings, whole, righteous, and upright and holy in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Apostle Johnita Collins. I love each and every one of you. And listen, I pray to God that you got everything that you needed to get today. Thank you for hanging out and sticking with me.